challenging men to be great men. Welcome to the Great Man Podcast with your host, New York Times bestselling author, Stephen Mansfield.
Gentlemen, let us begin. I want to dive right in today, but first of all, I want to apologize to you. I've been letting these podcasts get a little bit long, and I want the Great Man Podcast to be about 10 minutes. If you can't listen to it in a bathroom session, if you can't listen to it in your car on a short drive home, if you can't listen to it over a brief break at work, then it's too long. And I've just been getting passionate and getting long-winded, so forgive me. I'm going to keep these puppies to about 10 minutes. I want to make an assignment to you. I want to ask you to do something based on an understanding that any good, noble, righteous man needs to have. And that is the power of our words. Now, I know this can sound kind of Sunday school-ish. I know it can sound kind of elementary school-ish when we start talking about the words. But I'm not just talking about saying nice words. I'm not talking about just being nice and being sweet and saying sweet things. It's important that a man understand the power of his words. Men are powerful when they speak. Words are carriers. I hope we all understand that. I tend to see my words as almost like train cars coming out of my mouth. I lived in Germany where train culture is very big, and I remember seeing trains full of coal going to their destination, dumping the coal, carrying things. So that's how I tend to see my words. They are carriers. They carry truth. They carry insight. They carry understanding. They carry comfort. They carry even words of destiny. Carry powerful things about people's destinies and the way they see themselves. So a man's words are immensely powerful. And when a man doesn't understand that, he can do damage. Think for a moment about men who have said things to you as a man in your life. Maybe somebody called you stupid. Maybe somebody said you'd never amount to anything. Maybe a father in an angry moment said, you know, something about how you're so like your mother or something like that. My point's not to dredge up pain. My point is to say, think about how those words lived in you. Think about how those words shaped you. I've often laughed on this podcast and with my friends and in a couple of my books about the fact that when I was in the fifth grade, a female teacher said in front of my mother that I was immature and retarded. Now, you can imagine how much fun my friends have with that now. But I got to tell you, it took years for me to get that out of my soul. It took years for me to drive that off because I believed it. I mean, she was my fifth grade teacher, for heaven's sakes. So I believed I was immature and retarded. Now, I don't know what she really meant. Did she mean I was slightly retarded in my reading skills, or did she mean I was immature in the social studies? I don't know exactly what she was saying, but what she actually said in the sentence was, "Stephen is immature and retarded." Well, it tainted me. It harmed me. It damaged me. Now I've outlived it, but boy, my friends have fun with that one. So I want you to think about your words. I want you to think about the power that you have with your words. Let me say quickly that I enjoy smack talk in the locker room as much as anybody else. My friends and I are rowdy. But I'll tell you what, even with my rowdy friends, there is a constant stream of positive, of encouraging, of strengthening. I mean, my guys will talk smack about who's going to win the next racquetball game, but then sitting right there in the shower or the locker room, they'll say something like, "Yeah, that's your gift. You're awesome at that." Or some guy will be talking about some plan he's planning to launch at work, and they'll say, "Man, I admire the way that you can come up with a vision, man, and nobody can do this like you." And just affirm them, you know, you're gifted, you're called, God's with you. Man, I admire that. Gosh, I think that's fantastic. Have you considered this? I know you have because you're a man who really thinks things through. You know, it's all the time. It's all the time. And there are nicknames that people use. We come up with nicknames. One of my friends calls me General. And because it's because I lead and I tend to have the big picture and I tend to strategize on a large scale. So he doesn't call me Stephen ever. He calls me General, even when with other people, and then he'll have to explain it. I've got the same thing with some folks. So it's constant words. It's constant trying to build pictures in the person's soul. It's constant trying to dump that coal, not dark, dirty things, but sort of the coal of positive, of destiny, of gifts. Now, what I want to ask you to do in this podcast is I want you to think about a verbal strategy for the people you're close to. I don't want you to get weird. I don't want you to suddenly jump out in front of your wife and go, you are the best thing in the whole wide world, and I'm glad I married you, and freak her out. But I want you to think about where the people immediately in your life, your wife, your son, your daughter, your friends, your roommate, I want you to think about what they might need. Where do they need encouragement? What do they need to hear from you? What are the words that need to be dumped in their soul so that they can really thrive and really feel energized and believed in and supported and strengthened? And by the way, this stuff does not need to be great, big, vast sentences. I get the greatest encouragement when my friends just say, you know, you're good at that, or I knew you'd be on top of that. I wanted to find out what you thought because I know you really think about this stuff and you got a real gift for it. And it's half a sentence. It's a few words. When you live with somebody, you don't have to get up and, you know, read a Declaration of Independence length thing of affirmation. But touch, affirmation, encouragement, imparting some vision, telling them how you see them. My wife recently handled a business matter for us. She did it brilliantly. I just put my arm around her, said, you're so amazing at this. You can't know what it means as a husband to have a wife who can handle these things so powerfully and so well. Thank you. And kissed her on the forehead. And I think we went out to dinner later. I mean, that I know Bev well enough to know that that's going to live in her, that her husband loves her and believes in her and trusts her. Bev handles a lot of our business. She's bought properties for us. I'm sitting in a suite in DC that she bought without me even having seen it. And so, you don't just benefit from things like that. You have to reflect them back. You have to affirm. You have to say things. It's because you want to. It's because that's what builds people up. The word used in the Bible is edify, and it literally is a builder's term. It means to build up, to construct. And so I think in terms of what I'm constructing in Beverly's heart. I think in terms of what I'm constructing in my son and daughter's heart. I think in terms of what I'm constructing in the hearts of those around me. I want them to be encouraged. I want them to be strengthened. I want them to see themselves in my eyes. I want them to have words from me that live in them. I think I've shared before on this podcast that when I was going through the worst time in my life, my father wrote me an email and said, you will continue to rise. Well, it's only a few words, but Lord, it changed me. It changed me. Not only was it good to hear that my father believed in me at that time, but it was a sort of a blessing, a Hebraic blessing that has continued for generations. And by the way, the words of a father are powerful, and what he perceived and what he thought were powerful. And I have continued to rise, I say humbly, but still all of that was reflected, and a whole horrible period of my life was turned around internally in my heart because my father spoke just half a sentence to me. You will continue to rise. Now, I want you to think through a strategy. I'm not asking you to write things out. I'm not asking you to break into Shakespeare-like language. I'm not asking you to speak King James. I'm not asking you to get dramatic with this. But just start seeding into the lives of those who are entrusted to you, who are near, the positive that they need to hear. There may be some big formal things you need to do. You may need to go back and sit down with your father and say, hey, I just really wanted to take some time to tell you how much your brand of fathering has meant to me. Maybe that needs to happen. But I'm just talking about the brief, constant dropping into hearts, the brief, constant depositing into people's lives, the words that strengthen them, that encourage them, that help them overcome, that affirm what they're good at, that bolster what maybe they're not that good at. And, you know, I've turned to one of my children and said, you know, you're a lot like me. Math's not your strong suit, but still, we know how to enlist good help. We know how to think it through. We know how to know when we need help and when we have a challenge here. And I'm really proud of you for that. So I took a weakness in one of my children's lives that's similar to mine. Words are my gift, not numbers. And now my child is a VP level exec in a company. Not really being all that good at numbers, but they know how to call in help. They know how to call in reinforcements. They know how to engage people. They know how to challenge people to do that kind of work. And they know how to have some humor about not being that good at it. And it hasn't hurt them all at all in their ascent. So think about your wife. Think about your roommate. Think about your friends. Think about your children. Think about your buddies. These people are in your life for a reason, and I want you to use your words to deposit positive, motivating things in their lives. And by the way, a principle of life is what goes around comes around. What you put out comes back, and you're going to find the culture around you is changing. This is one of the arts of being a great man.
To join the Great Man community or to book Stephen to speak at your men's event, go to greatman.tv. You'll learn about Stephen Mansfield's two essential books for men, Mansfield's Book of Manly Men and Building Your Band of Brothers, as well as some other great resources for becoming a great man. The Great Man Podcast is a Mansfield Group production.